Welcome to Swamp Swami's weekly Sweep the Swampcast for Friday, May 3rd, 2019. On Saturday, the Run for the Roses will take place again. Yes, the Kentucky Derby kicks off another busy month on NBC. The network will also have the Preakness Stakes, the Stanley Cup playoffs in hockey, and they'll have the Indianapolis 500 road race for the first time. You'll get 5 hours of coverage tomorrow on Saturday for the horse races before the actual race itself starts at 5:50 p.m. Central Time. Unfortunately for NBC, the favorite horse for this year's Triple Crown, Omaha Beach, was scratched from the Kentucky Derby earlier this week due to a breathing problem. Omaha Beach was set to have surgery on Thursday to fix an entrapped epiglottis. That's the little flap in the throat that keeps the food from entering your windpipe and lungs. The problem was affecting the horse's breathing. The medical procedure at a nearby clinic in Lexington, Kentucky, requires 2 to 3 weeks of recovery, so he won't be winning this year's Triple Crown, but is expected to race again later this summer. Also, unfortunately for NBC, rain is in the forecast for Saturday in Louisville for the Kentucky Derby. The muddy course will be the big challenge for the 20 horses in Saturday's 145th running of Churchill Downs over the 1.25-mile track. The first quarter mile figures to be a big log jam before things begin shaking out to determine the real contenders. With Omaha Beach out of the lineup, though, the Kentucky Derby might want to enter another star horse to help them attract viewers for tomorrow.
Here comes another lecture on neatness.
Where have you... Oh, no. Ed, look at yourself.
Revolting, huh?
How could you get so dirty?
Well, you know I'm trying to lose 40 pounds so Chiquita will go for me.
Yes.
So I went to the park to run it off.
What park?
Santa Anita. I came in second.
Don't be funny. Look, Ed, I don't mind you trying to lose a little bit of weight, but you're filthy. I can't stand a sloppy horse. How could you come in looking like this?
I tried a Turkish bath, but they wouldn't take me.
Oh, quiet. I'll clean you off this time, Ed. The next time you walk in here looking like that, you're going to clean yourself. If I were your size, you'd do what to me?
Huh? Oh.
You forgot I can read lips, huh?
Can you read tails?
Read tails?
Figure that one out.
And now let's move to the NBA playoffs. Oh, Wilbur. The second round of the NBA playoffs are underway, though last year's Golden State and Houston Rockets Western Finals went to 7 games and was a thrilling matchup. This season's second round pairing of the number one seed and defending NBA champion Warriors and the four-seeded Houston Rockets hasn't exactly lived up to last year's expectations. The Warriors lead the series 2-0 with Game 3 Friday night tonight in Houston. In Game 1, the Rockets spent most of the night complaining about the referees. That's usually a recipe for a loss, which is exactly what happened. In Game 2 on Tuesday night, Houston star guard James Harden was accidentally injured in one of his eyes by a Golden State player. Unfortunately for Houston, the one-eyed James Harden returned to the game and still scored more points than the other teammates of the Rockets in a losing cause. Golden State Warriors have so many offensive weapons. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and a very deep cast of talented role players. They're just steamrolling the competition yet again this year. The Warriors have won 4 of the last 5 NBA titles and are going to be very hard to stop this year, barring injuries. Also out west, don't tell anyone. The number 3 seed Portland Trail Blazers took Game 2 in Denver the other night and are quietly, I mean really, really quietly, playing terrific basketball. Portland has a chance to play in the Western Division Championship round this year for the first time since the year 2000. So, don't wake up the Trail Blazers just yet. In the NBA's East, it looks like the Philadelphia 76ers have figured out what to do with 6'10" point guard wannabe named Ben Simmons. Yes, they finally figured it out. Simmons, who still hasn't made a three-point shot in his two-year NBA career, also has a very ineffective jump shot, and he's a lousy foul shooter. Well, what does he do? Well, he mostly scores on layups, dunks, and putbacks. So rather than expose him as the guard he wants to be on offense, the team has very smartly stashed Ben Simmons way down low under the basket and has moved their better shooting center, Joel Embiid, up to the high post area. Number 3 seed Philly now leads Toronto 2-1 and seems to have found a way to hide Simmons' prolific offensive weaknesses to allow the other four players to dominate the offense. The Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks are now tied at 1 game apiece, moving back to Boston for Friday night's Game 3. The Seas will be playing their first home game after last week's passing of Celtics legend John Havlicek. It's going to be a very emotional night and game in Boston Garden with that number 17 jersey already hanging in the rafters. Also, sadly for the Celtics, longtime Celtics player and current general manager Danny Ainge suffered a heart attack a few days ago. Ainge is 60 years old and he's expected to make a full recovery. Ainge also had another heart attack about 10 years ago in 2009. The bigger problem in Boston is that their so-called star, Kyrie Irving, seems to be playing his own game instead of that of Coach Brad Stevens. During a timeout in Game 2 the other night in Milwaukee, Coach Stevens told his players in the huddle, "Keep moving the ball. We can get any shot we want." So what happened right after that timeout? Right after the timeout, Kyrie Irving dribbled the ball across half court, dribbled some more, and then he jacked up a three-point shot which clanked off the rim and went to the other team without one other Celtics player even touching the ball. Sorry, Coach should have yanked Irving off the court at that point, but he didn't. Irving finished the game with a pitiful 4 out of 18 from the field, had no free throw attempts at all for the game, and scored a total of 9 points. That's what you get for $20 million a year. The National Hockey League's Stanley Cup playoffs are also underway. 3 of the 4 semifinal series are now tied at 2 games apiece. The only team which appears to be a lock for the next round are the Carolina Hurricanes, who are leading 3-0 over the New York Islanders. Now let's talk golf. Last week, European PGA player Eduardo Molinari, who's the brother of British Open champion Francesco Molinari, said after playing a 5.5-hour round of golf at a European tour stop, "It's time that professional golf does something serious for this slow play." He tweeted out a list of every golfer on the tour who has been timed, penalized, and fined this season because of slow play on the European Tour and other major tournaments. Who are those players, you ask? Pretty much about 75% of the players on tour. Well, as expected, the Tour Turtles weren't very happy about this public shaming. Fellow European golfer Graham McDowell took offense. He said, "Listen, golf courses are long, hard, and we're playing for a lot of money. It's a big business. It's what it is," said McDowell. "There's just no way to speed this game up, really. At the end of the day, it's very hard to get around the 7,600-yard golf course with tucked pins and 3 guys playing in 4 hours and 45 minutes or 5 hours. You just can't do it." Sorry, Graham, you're wrong. It shouldn't take a PGA player more than 4 hours to play a round of golf, no matter how long the course is. When you can hit 300-yard drives in the fairway and 70% of the greens in regulation, professional golfers are simply taking way too much time when they arrive at the ball and on the greens. Nobody needs more than 30 seconds to hit a golf shot at the tee box, on the fairway, or on the greens. Here's a unique way we might be able to solve this slow play golf problem. The winning team at last weekend's New Orleans-Zurich Open motivated each other by rewarding themselves with a Skittles candy after every hole that they birdied together during the golf tournament. I'm serious. Ryan Palmer and John Rahm were draped in Mardi Gras beads and tossing bags of Skittle in the interview room like they were carnival doubloons. Nothing like a good old sugar high can help speed up play in golf. I say go for it. And finally today, we stop to salute the passing of a movie legend. Peter Mayhew, the actor who played legendary Star Wars character Chewbacca the Wookiee, passed away on Thursday at the age of 74. Mayhew is the 3rd major member of the original cast of Star Wars to die in recent years. Carrie Fisher and R2-D2 actor Kenny Baker both died in 2016. I'm Swamp Swami. Let's end today's show with a salute to my favorite Star Wars character.
You made a fair move. Screaming about it can't help you.
Let him have it. It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
I suggest a new strategy, R2. Let the Wookiee win.
Goodbye, Chewbacca. Miss you, I will.
Chewie, we're home.